Good morning. We're in the book of John. Again, we started last week talking about the seven signs that John uses to establish the validity of Jesus as the Messiah. And those signs are actually the first miracles that he began to perform in his ministry. And the first one we saw was where he turned the water into wine at the wedding feast. And then he healed simply by speaking a word. The royal official's son was healed. And then the third sign or miracle that we saw last week was that he healed the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. And so today we look at the fourth sign or the fourth miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. I just want to read through that and then we'll look at some things there that the Lord is speaking to us through his word. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude toward him, coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." And so he performs a miracle of feeding 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. It's interesting in verse 2, he says, "Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he had performed on those who were diseased." They followed him because of miracles they'd already seen him do. They followed him because maybe they were fascinated with it. They were taken back by it. They were interested in it, or they wanted something for themselves. I believe it's the latter. I believe they followed him, as the word says, because they saw the miracles, the signs which he performed on those who were sick or diseased. And so they were looking for more. They were looking for more wow, more bells and whistles, more excitement. Why do you follow Jesus? Think about that. Why do you, if you follow Jesus, if you're here, you follow Jesus, why do you follow Jesus? Think about it. Why do you follow Jesus? I think that's a fair question. Do you follow him just simply because you believe he is the way, the truth, and the life, and you don't want to go to hell? Do you follow him because of what he can do for you? Now, that's not all bad, because some of the things he can do for us is to change our life for the better. Amen? Amen? He can clean up the mess that we've made of our lives. But think about it. Why do you follow Jesus? Do you follow him to get something? To just receive? Or do you follow him for who he is? For who he is, the Messiah, the one true God and Savior, the one who can change your life when nothing else or nobody else can, including you. Why do you follow Jesus? I think this is a fair question that's produced here by this miracle of feeding the 5,000. They followed because of the signs and wonders. You know, in fact, Jesus, we read earlier, I think it was last week, he said, actually it was, when the nobleman, the royal official came to him and pleaded with him to come and heal his son who was sick and dying, he said, you know, unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Is that where you're at this morning? You want to see signs and wonders? You want to see all sorts of miraculous things go on? Or can you just follow Jesus because he is? Because he is. It says here, he went up on the mountain with the disciples. The Passover was near. And then he saw the great multitude coming before him. And he says to Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? I mean, look at all of them. How are we going to feed them? And verse 6 says, he said this to test him because he knew himself what he would do. See, Jesus was testing Philip. What was he testing? He was testing Philip's faith. He was testing Philip's faith to believe what Jesus could or couldn't do. And so, I want to ask you this morning, how is he testing your faith? How is he testing your faith? Do you realize that he will test your faith? He'll do things, or he'll allow things into your life to test your faith. And it can come from anywhere, from any direction, at any time. Sometimes you maybe know it's coming, and sometimes it just totally comes out of the blue. But he does test your faith. See, he said to Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? And Philip answered, well, you know, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient to feed all them, just a little bit, each one of them. And so that's an indication of where Philip's faith was. That's an indication of where his faith is. And when he tests you, the result is an indication of where your faith is. You see, the word says that if you have just the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You probably can't see this in the light very good, but in there is a mustard seed. That's tiny. It's tiny. It's smaller than a BB that you would shoot in a BB gun. But the word says if you have faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. How could this little tiny dot move a mountain? Well, it comes from faith. It's a matter of faith. You see, it doesn't take a lot of faith. And what we're going to see here is what Jesus does with just a little. Philip and Andrew saw the physical realm. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a lad over here, a young boy, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that for all these people? You see, Andrew's faith was the same response as Philip's. Well, we got this, but that's nothing with what needs what the need is. It's nothing. And so Philip and Andrew were looking in the physical. Philip saw all these people and he said, man, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't feed them. Andrew says, well, there's five loaves and two fish, but that's just a pittance for all these people. But they were looking at the physical. And Jesus wanted them to look at the spiritual. And that's what he wants you to do today. You see, we live life in the physical. But he doesn't want us to live our life in the physical. We have to live in the physical because we live in a physical body. But if we follow Jesus, he wants us to live in the spiritual realm. Because that's a whole different realm from the physical. And we see this throughout the Bible. We see things spoken of in the physical and things spoken of in the spiritual. And too often as followers of Christ, we just live and exist in the physical where our faith is concerned. Now, if you want to look in the physical, there's no way that little dot in there is going to move a mountain. But if you look at it in the spiritual, it's a whole different game. It's a whole different thing. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to, even though we exist in the physical on this earth, he wants us to live in the spiritual realm. He wants us to live in the spiritual realm where he is, where he moves and operates. Yeah, does he operate in the physical? Yes, he does. But faith is not dependent on the physical. Our faith should be dependent on the spiritual sight. That's why the word says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen? There's a difference. There's a difference. And I believe that's what Jesus is trying to get his disciples to do with this fourth sign of feeding the 5,000. In verse 10, Jesus said, have everyone sit down. There was grass everywhere, so they all sat on the ground. The men sat down, it says, in number of 5,000. So we don't know exactly how many were there. Obviously, the multitude surely included women. But in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. So Jesus took what they had, and he gave thanks, and then he handed it to them. And then the disciples, it says, the disciples to those sitting down, the fish, and likewise the bread and the fish, as much as they wanted. Notice it says, as much as they wanted. All they wanted. You see, Jesus first gave to the disciples so that they could give to people. And I believe the message this morning is, what has God given you that he wants you to give to others? What has he given, what has Jesus put in your hands that you can put into others? Think about that. Now, immediately, some of you are thinking the physical. Well, I have this much money, or I have this many things. I could have this that I could give away. Let me tell you the first thing that he's given you, that he's put into your hands to give to others. It's his word. Amen. It's his word. And that's probably the most valuable thing that he could give you to give to others. And he gives us his word so that we can give his word to others. He feeds us his word so we can feed others. It's called discipleship. That's right. It's what the church is based on. See, we get it wrong. We say, when we read that verse in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say go into all the world and get people saved. Oh, that's part of it. That's the first step. But he says, make disciples. You know what make disciples? How you make disciples? You feed the word. You feed the word. You feed the word. And Jesus gave the disciples, he took that the fish and the bread, and he gave it to them. And as they gave it out, what happened? It multiplied. It kept going, and it kept going, and it kept going. And in his word is the same way. If you'll do that with it, it'll keep going and going and going. Like the Energizer Bunny. It won't stop. It doesn't stop. What has Jesus put in your hands that you can put into others? Maybe he's given you, he's done an awesome, miraculous thing in your life that you need to share with someone else to encourage them. Maybe he's disciplined you in such a way and corrected you that you can share with someone else to help them. What has Jesus put in your hands that you can put into others? In verse 12, it says, so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. I want you to listen, to notice those first words. So when they were filled. So when they were filled, verse 12. Jesus took what they had and he gave it to them after he blessed it. And he gave it to them and they were filled. Jesus wants to fill you. Jesus wants to give you what he has to fill you. It says, and they were all filled. When they were filled, he said, gather up what was left over. Do you want Jesus to fill you this morning? See, we can sit in church and say, yes, I want Jesus to fill me. But what about on Monday? When the rubber meets the road and you hit the real world and you run into it head on. See, it's a different game out there. It's easy in church to want to be filled. Do you want to be filled every day? Then you got to feed on his word every day. Because that's how he fills you. Oh, he'll fill you with his spirit too. He fills you with his spirit every day if you'll have the faith to believe. But he really fills you with his word. He strengthens you in your mind and your body and your spirit with his word. Amen. They were filled. And not only that, he said, when they were filled, he told the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing is lost. He filled them. And there was an overflow. He filled them and there was an overflow. There was more than enough. You see, when Jesus takes what little you have, when you put it in his hands, it's more than enough. You might say, well, this is all I got. I don't have much. Put it in his hands. What you have, put it in his hands. And watch what he does. It'll become an overflow. And you see, that's why God wants to fill you with his word. Every day, he wants to fill you with his word. Because if you allow him, if you'll feed on his word, and you'll get full on his word, there'll be an overflow in your life. And that overflow is what goes to others. That overflow is what touches others. That overflow is what makes a difference to those around you. And that's Jesus' purpose here. He took what little they had and he gave it to the disciples and they gave it and they were filled and there was an overflow. There was an abundance. Jesus wants to fill you. Are you hungry enough? Are you hungry enough to be filled? You see, he can only fill open vessels. If you've got the lid on your life and you're living life your way, at your speed, at your pace, at the way only you desire, and you're doing your own thing, you've got a lid on your life. How's he going to fill it? And when you have the lid on your life, the word can't get in. You might hear the word, but it just bounces off. If you come in here on Sunday, you hear the word. But if you've got a lid on your life right now, you're not receiving any of this. It's just bouncing off. But if you're open, he's going to fill you. He's going to fill you with his word, and he's going to fill you with his spirit. And by his word and by his spirit is how he wants us to live our life. By his word and by his spirit. See, he can only fill open vessels. He can only fill open vessels. You see, are you open? Are you open to be filled with whatever he has for you? Are you open for him to take whatever you have and to use it in your life? Think about that. Verse 13 says, therefore they gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. After they were full, verse 12 says, so when they were filled, then guess what? They had an abundance left over. Do you know what that abundance represents? It represents the overflow. When you let him fill you with his word and fill you with his spirit, there's going to be an abundance, an abundant overflow in your life. And it'll touch other people, it'll affect other people, and other people will see it. And guess what? They'll be drawn, not to you, but to him. Amen. Because they'll see the overflow is only something he can do. Are you open? Are you an open vessel? Are you hungry enough to be filled? If you're hungry, here's the food, and there's plenty of it. It doesn't run out. The next sign is where Jesus walks on the water. In verse 15, therefore Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. He departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. The waves started. It got rough. And so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. But he said to them, it's I. Do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately they were where they were going. Interesting. Just a short little passage of where he was walking on the water, but yet that's a miracle. It was rough waters, rough seas. Maybe it was a storm. But he was walking on the water toward them, and they were afraid. And the first thing he says, it's me, it's I, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You know, all through the Bible, the word tells us to not be afraid. In Mark chapter 5, there's an example. In verse 22, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came. Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. And it says, so Jesus went with him. But on the way, he was interrupted. There was a big crowd around him. And this is where we find the woman with the issue of blood that had been bleeding for years and years and years. And she saw Jesus, and she made her way up to him and just touched the hem of his garment and was healed. And after this took place, in verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" So before he got there, the little girl died. And they came from Jairus' house and said, "The little girl's dead. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother him, man. Why bother with it? Why bother him?" As soon as Jesus heard the word, this is what he said. As soon as he heard that word spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe." And of course, as you read the rest of the story, he went and he got to the house and he said, "Quit weeping and crying. The little girl's just asleep. She's not dead." And obviously he brought her back. So what do we see in this? Jesus demonstrated his power to the disciples by walking on the sea, and yet they were afraid. Have you ever seen Jesus demonstrate his power and you were afraid? That's not what he wants. He says, "It's me, don't be afraid." You see, this is the fifth sign already that we see in John, and the disciples had seen all five of those. This is the fifth one, and yet they still feared. They saw him do these signs and these miracles, and they were still afraid. You know, it's like it was last week I said, if somebody was in here blind and their eyes were open, or somebody was in a wheelchair and they got up and started running around here, half of us would run out in fear. What is it that you fear right now? What is it that you fear? What is it that you came in here today with fear in your life about? Is it pain? You have a fear of pain. You don't want to experience any kind of pain, emotional or physical. Is it sickness? Are you fearing sickness, disease? What about maybe finances? You're worried about finances. You have a fear that the finances are not going to go well. Do you have a fear of failure? You're afraid to fail, so you just sit. Are you afraid of people? Do you have a fear of people? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, do you come into church, into worship? And do you worship in freedom? Or do you worship in fear of what someone might think of you if you raise your hands, or if you clap, or if you say hallelujah? Amen. You see, fear can be very subtle. Can be very subtle, but it can be very binding. What is it that you fear? The word says, don't fear someone who can kill you. Fear the one who can throw your soul into hell. See, we fear man. We worry about what they think. But we don't fear God and worry about what he thinks. Even in church. It doesn't make sense. Fear is the absence of faith or the lack of. Fear is the absence of faith or the lack of. There's another time that we're afraid. You see, Jesus, all these times, through these signs, Jesus was working in the disciples' lives. He was demonstrating his glory and his power and his existence as the Messiah. And when Jesus starts to work in our life, sometimes we become afraid. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And sometimes it might even be painful. Why would we fear? Why would we be afraid when God is working in our lives? That's what the disciples, he comes walking on the water to them and they were afraid. Fear is the absence of faith or the lack of. Do you lack faith this morning? Do you have fear of things in your life happening? Do you fear failure? Do you fear falling? Do you fear not being acceptable? Listen, know who you are in Jesus. If you're a Christian, know who you are in Jesus. That's all you need to know. And you don't have to fear. I mean, what can they do? What can someone do? Kill you? Okay. Praise the Lord, you're with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying go out there and walk in front of a car just to see how Jesus works. He does give you a brain. He gives everybody a brain. It's just not obvious sometimes. Listen to me. Fear is from the enemy. Fear is a lack of faith. Fear is having more faith in the physical than the spiritual. And Jesus wants us to have faith in him because he moves in the spiritual, and in the spiritual realm, that's when the miraculous happens. Hallelujah. He's walking on the water, physically walking on the water. He physically healed the cripple, but it was in the spiritual and through the spiritual that he did it. It was just a manifestation in the physical, a manifestation of the spiritual in the physical. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to manifest in our lives the spiritual things of God. And they will manifest physically. In fact, they do. They did with the disciples. They were afraid. Is this a ghost? He said, no, it's me. Don't fear. And he doesn't want you to fear this morning. You know, we sang about breaking every chain, breaking every chain. He wants to break the power of unbelief in your life today. Because unbelief is powerful. And that's what was happening with the disciples. And he broke it. And he wants to break the power of unbelief in your life today. He wants to break it. It's a chain. It's a chain. He wants you set free. He wants you to come in here and worship him freely for who he is, not for what's happening around you. Man, when that happens, you're going to see a manifestation of the presence of God you've never seen before when there's freedom in his house. When there's freedom in his worship, when we worship him in spirit and in truth, truly, you're going to see he's going to blow our minds. And it's not just for the bells and whistles. It's to do something in the church and to change it and to bring his power into the church. Because that's exactly what he did when he fed the 5,000. He took his power and he manifested it through the disciples when he put it into their hands, and then it was distributed to the people. Amen. Now, you look at that in the physical, but look at that in the spiritual. When you feed on His Word and you get in His presence and He fills you with His Word and He fills you with His Spirit, you're going to see a manifestation of His power in your life.
Yes.
And it will change your life and it will change people around you. And it'll change the church.
Amen.
And it'll change out there. It'll change outside the church things. Let's pray. What do you fear this morning? What's holding you back? What's holding you back from believing you're enough and you have enough? If you just put it in His hands. Start with your heart. Start with your heart. Put it in His hands. Trust Him. He's trustworthy. And He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to believe that you are enough. He wants you to believe that you have enough. Because when you put yourself and you put what you have in His hands, He does things with it that you never imagined. He does with it things that you've never seen. And He demonstrates that you are enough and you have enough when it's put in His hands. Because He multiplies it. He does more with you when you're in His hands. He can do more with you when you're in His hands, when you place yourself in His hands. He can do a whole lot more than what you're doing on yourself, on your own. Does He have your heart? Does He have all of it? Does He just have one chamber? He wants all of it. He wants all of it. Because when He has all of it, He'll blow your mind. He'll blow your mind. He'll show Himself to you in ways that you never imagined, that you never, ever thought possible. What are you fearing this morning? What are you fearing this morning? Jesus is saying to you, do not be afraid. Don't fear that disease. Don't fear that threat that someone made to you. Don't fear that negative word that someone spoke over you. Don't fear it. Have faith. It just takes a little. And He can turn it into a lot. Just have some faith this morning that He is who He says He is. And believe Him for who He is. Not for what He can do for you, but just who He is. And then watch what happens. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for truth and life and breath that comes through Your Word. I pray You stir a hunger and a thirst for Your Word in this place today. A hunger and thirst that only You can create in our spiritual being. A spiritual thirst that we can't get enough of Your Word. That we can't read it and study it enough and hear it enough. A true spiritual hunger. A hunger for Your presence. To just know You're there and to sense Your presence. God, stir it up in this place. Manifest Yourself in this place. Stir a hunger and a thirst for You by Your Word and by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.